chapter 18, verse number 14 says this. Oh, this Bible's got, it's the Word of God, amen. It's the Word of God, and you don't have anything ever happening going on in your life but what the Word of God doesn't have the answer for it. God will help you. It says this verse, listen to it. Hope you're reading it with me. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Lord, help us today to preach to the glory of God in Jesus' name and the help of these people. Amen. I want to preach today on the subject of the importance of keeping a healthy spirit. A healthy spirit. It seems like in this country nowadays, everybody's interested, first of all, in the body. I mean, they've got diets. Everybody's on a diet. And everybody's telling, there's a new study out every week, tell you what caused cancer and what, I mean, you know, I'll tell you what, and the old folks used to eat fat back and live for 102. I don't know. Cholesterol didn't seem to hurt them any, amen. I heard an old timer say, I believe Dad told me one time, the guy said, if they'd have known what cholesterol was whenever he was young, they'd have made gravy out of it. Cholesterol, I'm sorry. Man, this ain't going good. I don't know. But y'all knew what it meant, didn't you? All right. I've raised too many baby kids that were sick. Amen. But you know, in all honesty, in this world, everybody seems to be interested in the body. I mean, you've got all these diets, and then they've got all these exercise machines, and I still believe if you want to lose weight, buy you a push lawnmower. You don't need one of them $5,000 machines. You say, well, I can't use it in wintertime. Yeah, you can. Push you through the snow, amen. You'll be all right. You don't have to mow grass with it. Just push it. It'll be all right. But everybody's got all these diets and exercise and herbs and medicine and health food stores and on and on and on it goes. And clubs you can join and all kinds of stuff. And you know what? It's all right. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We ought to take care of it. Myself, I like, you know, drinking pop and eating moon pies. Ice cream. Everything. No, but really and honestly, America's almost like consumed about taking care of their body. Everybody wants to live forever. They're talking about now, you know, freezing people and somehow or another making them come back. I ain't buying into it. I ain't paying nobody $5,000 to freeze me, amen. You know, you dead. You don't know. I mean, you're dead and gone. They got your money and you still froze. But, I mean, it's a mess, amen. But everybody's concerned about the body. The whole country's into, you know, this stuff here, you know, I can't do it very well, amen. But then, not only that, but the whole country is not only concerned about the body, but then they kind of act like they're concerned about the soul in the sense that the mind, you know, there's all this, everybody's chasing philosophy. We'll study Aristotle and Plato and all them other sodomites. Yeah. Them guys don't know nothing. And you're wasting your time reading after them. In fact, you're not wasting your time, you're doing worse than that because they're anti-Christ in philosophy. But they study their philosophies, and everybody's into psychology. Everybody needs to go to the shrink nowadays and take a pill, and everybody's into keeping their mind, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And and eating brain food. Now you can buy brain food. Boy, I need to eat a lot of it, amen. But there's brain food. Everybody's interested in that stuff. But you know what you never hear about in this country? Nobody is interested in a healthy spirit. And I'm going to tell you this morning that according to God and His Word, your spirit's health is far more important than your body or your soul. You show me a man with a healthy spirit, and I don't care what kind of infirmity he has, he's living life to the fullest. There's not much emphasis on that. Man, the Bible teaches, is a triune being. We're created in the image of God. God is a triune Godhead. And whenever God speaks about man in the sense of his being created in the image of God as a triune being, he always starts with spirit, soul, and body. He never says, I pray your whole body, soul, and spirit, but he always starts off, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body. And you can't find a place in the Bible where those three entities of your existence are mentioned, but what God always starts with your spirit. And in fact, when God saved you, He started with your spirit because your spirit had to be reborn. People that are lost are dead in trespasses and in sins. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you don't need a mind over. You don't need an exercise club. You need to be born again. And the Bible said, except you be born again of the Spirit of God, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. God works with our spirit. The truth about our bodies is they're headed back to the dust. They're cursed under the curse, and it's going to die. Now, when God redeems us, I said, He starts with our spirit. Then He begins to work through our soul and sanctifying us and separating us and converting the soul, how we think, how our attitudes are, all that. And then one day we'll have a glorified body at the resurrection, and that consummation of salvation will be there. The Bible says this, that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I can deduct from that that if I do not have a healthy spirit in God's eyes, my worship is going to be hindered. Now, in this passage of Scripture, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain him, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? If your spirit gets wounded, listen to me this morning, it's going to affect your worship. This country is full of wounded spirits. In this church house, there's probably not a seat but where you've dealt with a wounded spirit. But where do you go to get help for a wounded spirit? The Bible said a wounded spirit, who can bear a wounded spirit? You don't have to be old to have a wounded spirit. You can be a small child and have your spirit wounded. In fact, some older folks who are cankered up and sour-headed today is because their spirit was wounded when they were children, and they've never learned from God how to deal with a wounded spirit. You can wound your body, and you can treat it, and go to a doctor, and take medicines or whatever, and herbs or natural sources, and you can get the healing from your body oftentimes. But where do you go to get help for a wounded spirit? A hurt spirit. Now tonight, I'm going to suggest something. I'm not preaching all of this message today. I'm going to finish it tonight, and I'm going to do it in 15 minutes. And I'm going to give you five things that rhymes that you can heal your spirit through and what to do with the wounded spirit. And then after that, we're going to celebrate. Are you guys going to be here tonight? I better check it out. You can't be here tonight. Well, can we eat ice cream in your honor anyway? You don't. It's fine. I should have asked you. That's okay. All right, I'll preach for 45 minutes then. No, I'm going to preach real quick tonight, but I'm going to, there's an ending to this deal. It's amazing how God brought all this together, but I'll talk about that tonight. Now, let me say this, because wounded spirit, why is the wounded spirit important? Because if Satan can get your spirit wounded, he can affect every realm of your life. He can take away your joy. He can take away your purpose. He can take away your enthusiasm. He can steal your energy. And because of that, Satan will attack and attempt to wound your spirit or to cause the wounding of your spirit. That's what he did with Job. He wanted to wound Job's spirit so bad that he'd cuss God and die. He said, if you let me do this to him and wound him so bad, he said, he'll curse you to your face. You say, what does a wounded spirit do to me? First of all, if you have a wounded spirit, it could keep somebody else from getting saved. I don't think there's too many lost people out here that's going to be led to Christ by a man with a wounded spirit, even though that man may be saved. If your spirit's wounded and you're saved, you're a Christian, I am telling you, you may just do the exact opposite. You may turn that person away from Christ. They may say, if this is what Christianity is about, I sure wouldn't want anything to do with that. So it may keep somebody from getting saved. But if you're saved, you may stop your full potential of life. And I mean that. I've always believed that life was to be lived. My Lord said, I give you life and life more abundantly. Eternal life and life more abundantly. That's a picture of a deer jumping over a fence and with a lot of room to spare. God wants you to have abundant life. I believe that with all my heart. But a wounded spirit will keep you from seeing the full potential of your life, of God's will. It'll keep you from that abundant life. But a wounded spirit will do more than that. It'll strip you of your power. It'll make you weak and make your work vain. And it'll rob you of the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And I'm telling you, if you don't get over a wounded spirit, you're going to live a miserable life. I'm amazed at how many people tell me they're saved, but they're sad. They're sour. They're sullen. You say, who would wound your spirit? Or who would want to wound your spirit? How does a person get a wounded spirit? What are the evidences of it and what are the consequences of it? And how is a wounded spirit healed? I'm talking to people this morning who've been hurt deep inside. You'd be an unusual person, lived very long and done very much, and somehow or another you didn't get hurt deep inside somehow or another by someone or some events of life. I'm talking to people that have been betrayed. You've maybe been lied on, lied to, cheated on. Your spouse left you. Your parent left you. Your children forsook you. You've been rejected. You've been done dirty. You've been stolen from. As I said, maybe your spouse has been unfaithful. Maybe your parents divorced and you've been leveraged back and forth for 25 years and you're sick of it and you're hurting and you wonder why you couldn't have had a home and a family. Maybe you've tried to do business and it didn't work out. You thought you were going to make it and all of a sudden here came expenses and tear-ups and breakdowns, and about the time you thought you was getting ahead, everything fell apart. You opened up a business and people didn't support you. Maybe you went to get hired and they rejected you and they didn't want to hire you for that job. Things have not went positive for you. Maybe you lost a loved one when you were younger. It may be, as Sister Connie was relating this morning, that you didn't have any children. Can I tell you that it's very easy for a person who wants to have children and don't have children to get a wounded spirit, to feel like life has not been fair to them. Maybe you wanted to be married. I was reading here a while back about a young man who had given his life to serve the Lord. And he was getting ready to be, and this girl he was going to marry, she drowned in ice the day before their wedding. And all that whole time, he felt like she was the exact one that God had brought into his life to go together to work with him in ministry. And she drowned the day before their wedding. You know, and if you're not careful, those wounds, those things, that life hits you. It's like Tim said this morning. Life is life. We live in a cursed world. It's full of sin, sorrow, sickness, and sadness. And I'm telling you something. You say, well, I ain't never got hit by it. You better duck. Because I'm telling you, I don't care who you are and what you think. I'm telling you, life can hit you so hard upside the head and make your head spin. Maybe you got fired from a job. Maybe you've helped others and you've given and you've poured your life into things and those very people that you helped turned on you. Maybe it was a preacher. He did you wrong. He disappointed you. Stay around here long enough. It'll happen to you. Maybe folks couldn't use you or need you and they left you. Maybe you experienced a severe financial loss that flipped your world upside down. Maybe you lost health. I don't know what it is. But I want to say this to you, get this down about getting wounded. Most people are what the Bible calls wounded in the house of their friends. That means it's very likely you will get hurt right inside your physical home by people you love inside the walls of that home. Some of the worst hurts you've ever had in your life are from your family, and you know I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes it'll be in the house of your friends at church. And you're going to get hurt. You're going to get wounded in the house of your friends. Our Lord was, boy, I'm telling you something. If you think He doesn't know what you've been through and going through, you listen to your Bible. He was wounded in the house of His friends. That's why it hurts so bad. It's from where we don't expect it to be. The evidence of a wounded spirit oftentimes is this. Sourness. We're just not happy. We don't smile about much of anything. If we do, it's a little quick laugh and we're back to our sourness. Maybe we're bitter or we're just sullen. How many remembers the message about Tippy, the parakeet? She got sucked down the vacuum hose. Yeah, it was terrible. And Tippy, the owner took Tippy out of the vacuum cleaner, she was all covered with dust and dirt. She had been singing in her cage. Now she's down in the vacuum. She's full of dirt. The lady that owned Tippy took her out. This really happened. It's a true story. Took her out of the vacuum cleaner. Took her over to the fountain and to the faucet and turned the cold water on her and put her underneath the wardrobe. Then she started shivering, so the lady took her then to an air blower, a hot air blower. It like to scalded her. You know what? Tippy wondered what happened to her life. Some of you have been sucked down the vacuum cleaner, covered with dirt, took out, been put under a cold faucet, and then had the blower put on you. And you're sitting there, and the news reporter that wrote this story said, Tippy doesn't really know what's going on in the world anymore. That's what can happen to you, isn't it? When you get wounded. You're coming into church and you're just kind of staggering in there. You're just kind of, you're so hit, you don't even know what's going on. God's literally carrying you this morning. Amen. Maybe you're sullen, but maybe you're suspicious of everybody now. Oh, I know they're up to no good. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know? Every one of them. I don't care how they smile at me. You're suspicious of everybody, and you're getting hard, and you're getting calloused, and you're critical and contemptuous of everybody and everything. Yeah, it was a good message, but... Bah. You know, the old saying is how to tell the difference between a sheep and a goat. The goat's butt. Yeah, they're a good guy, but... She's a nice lady, but... Anyway. Maybe you're just melancholy. You're just kind of... So what? You've lost the thrill of life. Nothing makes you feel good anymore. Maybe you're just purely depressed. The Bible talks about his countenance fell. Your countenance has fallen. You become pharisaical almost if you're not careful and full of pride. And then you're pessimistic. Everything's bad. You know, if all I ever did was watch Fox News or CNN, I'd be pessimistic too. But I read my Bible and I'm reading a different news story. Yeah. Amen. And you've become hopeless and you've resigned yourself to that. And I've become convinced that the real answer to any and all of my problems I've experienced in my life is maintaining a healthy spirit. It really is. Some of you may not know this, but I went through about 5 to 7 years behind this pulpit a few years ago that every Sunday I didn't know how I was going to climb behind here the next time. And yet God gave me grace every Sunday morning. I didn't feel like I could go on. I was so depressed. I was so down. I was so discouraged. I was so defeated. And you know what God finally showed me? He said, Reggie, it's your spirit. It's not all the stuff that's happened. It's not all the people. It's your spirit. And if your spirit will get healthy again, and you'll get in my word, and you'll get off all this other junk and get your spirit fixed, you can go through it. Your spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. A healthy spirit. I hesitate to give you this. I feel sorry for my wife. She's had to sit and listen to me preach all my life. She says we have absolutely no secrets. She's nodding her head really so subtly right now. But I will tell you this. I was 19 years old and I was going to Drury College. Pre-law. Had a girlfriend. Thought she was pretty nice. Actually, Dina's just really honestly thinking I might marry her. Getting pretty sweet on her. And one weekend I called her and she said, No, I'm not going to be available. We're not going to go there. I said, what? She says, Reggie, an old boyfriend of mine has come back into my life and she said, we're not going to be going out together anymore. Oh, it broke my heart. It really did. I'm telling you something. I had never experienced that in my life. It rolled me so hard. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what a wounded spirit will do for you. Now, I hope it don't do this to you. I had never drunk a drop of liquor of any kind in my life to that point, ever. I literally had almost got, for sure, one time, almost got in a bad fist fight over not drinking because I wouldn't drink. This guy was drinking and the rest of the guys were drinking and I wouldn't drink. And boy, I'm going to tell you what. He said, why aren't you drinking? I said, I don't drink. He said, you're going to drink tonight. This guy was a body weightlifter up at SMS. His arms are bigger than my legs. His name was Skeeth. I can still remember him. You talk about fear, Zach. I was sitting in it wasn't a bar. I don't think it was. Anyways, this place. And I had a kind of like an A&W mug. You ever see them old A&W mugs? Had the big handle. I had one of those right there while I was drinking my root beer out of. And when he told me he was going to make blood and guts out of me in the floor of that place, I just kind of took my hand around that thing and I thought, I'm going to bust this thing and then I'm going to cut your guts out. And I'm going to make your face look like mush. And I'm honest with you. You think I'm a nice guy? He'd come at me, I'd have done it. Because you get a guy scared, you get a little skinny hillbilly boy scared. He's going to shoot you or do something, buddy. He ain't taking it. Okay? And anyway, but that's how much I wouldn't drink. I mean, I would not drink under threat of being whooped. But when that girl broke my heart and my spirit got wounded, you know what I did? I went over to some friend's house up around Springfield that I hadn't, because I knew they always drunk. And I walked in there and I said, you guys got anything to drink? I said, sure. They kind of looked at me like, good grief, what's happened here? And I'm ashamed to tell you, I'm ashamed. But you know what? Maybe this will help you. I got drunker than a skunk, and for 2 years, I drunk like a fish. And I almost went to hell over a wounded spirit. If it were not for the mercy of Almighty God, I would have died drunk and busted hell wide open. And you know why? A wounded spirit. That's how dangerous a wounded spirit. That's why I'm going to tell you girls something. You girls listen to me right now. You just don't give your heart to anybody. You just don't go handing your heart over to some old boy that'll break it up and wound your spirit. Because if you ain't careful, the first thing you know, you'll think all guys are sorry and worthless, and they are, but I'm just saying, boys, you be careful about giving your heart to that girl. You give your heart to Jesus Christ. He will never leave you nor forsake you, and He will not wound your spirit. But I'm just telling you, I don't give you that illustration because I wanted to tell you that. I'm telling you that because I'm telling you right now, wounded spirits are dangerous. They'll make you do things you would have never done. They'll make you think and act and respond in ways that you were never designed and created to be like. Healthy spirit. Be honest with you, I was never right again until God fixed my spirit. That's the honest truth. I was never right again until God healed my spirit. And I could tell you about how God used that lady right there to do it. You think I'm lying to you? I'm telling you something. When I met that girl right there, it was like something I'd been searching for all of my life. And God used her to heal my spirit. The truth about it is, Karen, the truth about it is, I was drinking almost up to the point I met her. And the moment I met her and decided that there's something like God inside just says, you know, that's her. I quit stone cold dead. Just as fast as I started, I quit. I never touched and haven't since I met that girl. But I'm saying this to you, that God in mercy, Dean, that's why I tell you, man, I want to tell you something. We got a good God. He loves you when you've messed up, when you've blown it, when you've done what you said you'd never do, when you've went against everything you was ever raised to believe. He's still there. I just wonder right now, if you're sitting out there this morning, you would just say while I'm preaching, you would pray while I'm preaching right now, you would just quit listening to me almost, and you would say, God, I tell you what, I want you to heal my spirit in this church service today. I want you to heal me today. Wounded spirits have destroyed more preachers than any other reason in America. Brother Larry Brown talked about going over to that house. Young preacher asked him to come over there, and he come over there, and his wife is sitting there on the couch just sobbing. He said, what's wrong? He said, my wife almost shot herself all ago. So I come in the house, she's had a .357 pointed at her brain. So what is it? She said she can't take the church anymore. All the stuff's being said. Said they run us off, tired. Said she can't take it anymore. Said, told Brother Larry. I said, Brother Larry, you don't know what it's like to back your trailer up to your house and you've pastored the church for 6 or 10 years and not one person in the church come by and say, hey, we appreciate everything you've done. Can we help you load up your trailer? He said, you don't want us like to have other kids tell your kids, we'll be so glad you're gone. My mom and dad said, we're going to run you off. I'm talking about wounded spirits. One of the problems with churches in America today is preachers and preachers' wives and people in the ministry having wounded spirits. You listen to me. But see, it's not just preachers, it's Christians, because Christians are running around like with chickens with their head off. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you the truth today. You cannot run away from a wounded spirit. You just will let God deal with it where you're at. Amen. hopping here and hopping there and going over there and doing this and doing that will not fix your wounded spirit. The Holy Ghost of God through the Word of God is what will heal your wounded spirit. That's why Satan will go after your spirit to get it wounded. I want God to heal the wounded spirits wherever they may be, inside this church or outside. You know something? You can't beat a man whose spirit's in good health. Did you hear about the man whose leg was amputated? Guy come in and he said, well, he said, how you doing? Oh, he said, I found a real good cure for ingrown toenails. You say, why is that making a joke about it? Hey, he wasn't whipped because they cut a leg off. He's not going to quit laughing and smiling and enjoying life just because his leg went off. You hear about the lady who was dying of cancer and her friends come to see her and they're feeling sorry for her and she coughed and she spit up blood and they said, oh my goodness, you're spitting up blood. She said, it ain't tobacco juice for sure. Still able to laugh though she's coughing up blood. I'm talking about your spirit of a man will sustain him. You heard about the man dying in a Catholic hospital and the little nun come in and says, would you like for us to get the priest and talk to the Holy Father for you? He said, ma'am, you're a little late. I've already got a high priest and been talking to the Holy Father all morning. Amen. Amen. The spirit of a man. Why? He's in good spiritual health. Man diagnosed with cancer. And he said, what about it? He said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. I want every individual, he said, Reggie, you care about us. I care about you. I don't want you more. I know you're going to go through times when you're going to go out in the woods and get on your face and cry your heart out and pour your soul out. I hope you do anyway. I hope you go out and pour your soul out to God, not to some shrink or some preacher. I hope you do. You're going to have times like that. There's times, like Zach said this morning, when you need to just suck it up and take it. There's times, like Brother Tim said, life's tough and you just need to get down and get settled and quit feeling sorry for yourself. But I'm not talking about that. You can get your spirit wounded even though you're the strongest guy in this church house. You can get wounded and it can affect you. I want the people in this church to have a healthy spirit. Did you know nothing can destroy this church if this church has a healthy spirit? Nothing and no one can destroy your potential except they first destroy your spirit. Oh, listen to me. Don't you like to, isn't it fun when you go out on the ball field? Kenny, I'm sure you've done this. You go out on the ball field and you haven't seen the opposing team and your boys are all about this high and you walk out on the court and they come running out of the deal and here come these guys about this high. Huh? Look like a college team. And you know, all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you go, ooh, we're whipped already. We're beat. That was what happened to the children of Israel, the men of Israel, when Goliath come out. Their spirits were whipped before. They didn't even fight him. He whipped them by whipping their spirit. Don't let the devil whip your spirit. All he'll do is get up right there every morning. And you're worthless. You ain't worth a dime. You ain't going to make it. You're a failure as a parent. You're no good. I'm just teasing you. I'm acting like the devil. But if you're not careful, you're whipped first. You know what I think sometimes? I was preparing this message and I had this vision. You ever go to a ball game and the ball game's going on and all of a sudden some of the cheerleaders jump up and say, we've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? Oh, boy, that other side of the gymnasium will jump up and they'll say, we've got spirit. Yes. And I thought, I wonder what would happen in a church service like that. I wonder if we could split the church right down the middle. And this is the red team and this is the blue team. And the blue team got up and said, we've got spirit. Yes, we do. And you'd all say, well, help yourself. Amen. I'll tell you something. I ain't going to the church. I will not pastor a church and let the Spirit of God just float away. And we're living here on intellectualism and you know, community social club. Amen. I want the Spirit of God. Amen. I want the Spirit of God. I want the living. He said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Let me tell you something. Makes all the difference in the world. If the Spirit of God is sustaining your spirit, nobody can whip you. Amen. I'll tell you something. There's nothing like victory. You know, there's nothing like winning to encourage winning. I mean, you come out there on that basketball court, and you got this little short squirt, don't look like he can hardly do nothing, and he comes across the line, and about 42 foot out there, he just stops and goes, and a three-pointer, and they all say, well, that was luck. He comes down next time on the other side and goes, and all of a sudden, you're 6 points ahead. Woo! You see, there's nothing like winning by winning, and I'm going to tell you something. This is the victory. Even our faith. We serve a risen Savior. He was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are on the winning side. And I'm going to tell you the truth of this. To die is gain. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more tears. And I'm telling you something. We've got it all. Amen. I am on the winning side. Is anybody convinced I believe what I'm preaching? Okay. Now listen, I want to hit something right here. Now get with me. Because I struggle with this. Whenever I got saved, I didn't belong to any club. I'm talking about denomination. I didn't belong to any denomination. I still don't belong to any denomination, okay? And I'm not against it. I just God never let me do it. But I am what is called basically a fundamental Bible-believing Christian. Okay? And that just simply means I believe the Bible. I just believe the Bible. And I take it literally. And I take it, with this context. Now, I'm a fundamentalist Bible-believing Christian. I believe in the Authorized Version King James Bible. I believe God preserved His Word there, okay? I believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I believe in His virgin birth, His sinless life, His sacrificial death, His glorious resurrection. I believe in His second coming. I'm a pre-trib, pre-millennial. All right? I believe in Christian education. I believe you ought to dress modest. I don't like liquor. I hate liquor, and I hate drugs, and I hate tobacco. I despise rock and roll. It almost took me to hell. Country and Western music makes me sick, and I despise Christian rock and contemporary Christian music worse than rock and roll or country and Western. I'm not fond of Easter bunnies, and I'm not a big fan of Santa Claus. I'm a fundamentalist. Okay? I don't believe in women preachers. I don't even like to eat out on Sunday unless I'm traveling and have to, then I'm always glad they're open. We're hypocrites, all of us, amen. I believe in heaven for the saved and hell for the lost. Amen. I'm against abortion, sodomy, I'm pro-gun, pro-constitution. I'm anti-communist, anti-socialist, anti-ecumenicalism, anti-UN. I'm fundamental. I only got one problem that keeps me from completely being a fundamentalist. I don't believe in being mad and cranky all the time. I believe you can go to church and believe right and be happy. Amen. Amen. I believe you can believe this Bible and live this Bible and still have the joy of the Lord as your strength. And I'm just saying this to you. Listen, I believe we can have the joy of God and still be right. And this church here, there'll not be a church in Missouri that has more joy, more gladness, more happiness, a healthier spirit than this church right here does. Hey, if we've got the truth, amen, we ought to be thankful for what God's done for us. Our spirits are sustained by faith. Job, the Bible said, he had 500 yoke of oxen stolen from him, but he still had a good spirit. Job had 500 she asses stolen from him, but he had a good spirit. If I have a baby calf dies, it's a bad day. Yeah. He had 7,000 sheep lost, burned up, but he still had a good spirit. He lost his servants, but he still had a good spirit. He had 3,000 camels stolen from him, but he had a good spirit. He had 10 children died in one situation, buried 10 children at one funeral, but he still had a good spirit. His wife comes up to him and says, curse God and die, but he still had a good spirit. Hey, listen. Listen, he's covered from boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and he took ashes and scraped and parted and scraped his parts off his body, but he still had a good spirit. And I'm going to tell you something right now, while it's coming to my mind. My daddy's sitting right back there. He's up there at the hospital. He's been used to working all his life. He has a stroke. He can't move his arm. He can't move his leg. He can't hardly understand his speech. But all through it, daddy will tell you what I learned. That a man's spirit will sustain his infirmity. And I didn't know they were coming to church today, and I'm just telling you the truth. Boy, I want to tell you something. Daddy says you got to keep working at it. They give him the weights, and you got to keep working at it. He says, man, that deal crawling up the wall's hard. They want you to do this exercise, you got to try. They want you to squeeze what do you call them things you hang out clothes with? Clothespin. You got to try, man. And I tell you what, little simple things like that don't seem much to you. Can't do it, don't they, Daddy? Yeah, and then they taught him how to take his shirt off without one arm. I never thought about trying that. I don't want to try it. They taught him how to button his shirt. I'm saying to you this. One of the things I've learned from my daddy and my mama through all this stuff. I go down to mama, how you doing? Oh, I'm just doing fine. I said, really? Yeah. The spirit. Boy, I thank God for my mom and dad. This is one old boy ain't going to get up at their funeral and talk about how good he was. I'm telling them now I appreciate the faith that they've instilled in my life. I want to tell you something right now. The devil cannot whip you till he's whipped your spirit. And if my dad would have got up there at that rehabilitation center and they had said, now, darn it, we want you to do this. And he said, no, I just don't feel like it. I ain't trying. It ain't no use of trying. He wouldn't be sitting in church this morning, would you, Daddy? Wouldn't be sitting in church this morning. I'm telling you, I don't care what kind of problem you're going through today, your spirit will sustain you if you let the Holy Spirit of God work in you. I don't know. I guess I'll just dismiss. But anyway, then Daniel. Hey, he said, well, is anybody else in the Bible? Oh, Daniel. His spirit sustained it two times in the Bible. It says Daniel had an excellent spirit. It said, you know what happened? You know what Daniel's life was? Hey, you think, hey, Ezra, I love you. You're one of my favorite guys in the whole wide world. You want to get something done? Get this boy right here. I'll tell you, he's a good worker. I recommend him. You charge $25 an hour. You'll do anything for anybody in this church. Ain't that right? Almost. I do. I love you. I want to tell you something. You listen to me, Ezra. When the devil starts telling you you got life rough, you remind him of Daniel. You ever hope to be married? You ever hope to have any children? Daniel never had that hope. He was carried off captive, probably about your age. Can I tell you, in just plain words, they castrated him. They made him a eunuch. And they made him a slave in a foreign country. That's pretty well robbing your life from you, isn't it? You know what the Bible says about Daniel? He had a good spirit in him. Five times the Bible said he got the spirit of the living God in him. They didn't even know who that God was. He said, there's a holy God somewhere. This man's got the spirit in him. You think you've had it tough? You think you've had it rough? I'll tell you, most guys, a little bit happens to them and all of a sudden, whoa, I need a shrink. I need a pill. Oh, be like, Reggie, my girlfriend left me. I'm going to get drunk. Bunch of garbage. David. Well, David had an excellent spirit in him. He said, who is this man to defy the armies of the living God? But you listen to me. Are you listening close? You can be in this church house and have a good spirit today and your spirit's healthy. Do you know what got David into a bad, wounded spirit? Anybody know? A woman. And it wasn't Bathsheba either. Michael. She had been promised to David by her father Saul. And he gave her to another man. And I'm telling you right now, it messed David up the rest of his life. He never got over it. In fact of it is, it bothered him so bad that when he became king and was able to do it, he went and got her. And her husband followed along behind him, behind her weeping. One of the wildest scenes you'll ever read about in the Bible. You know what the problem was? He got a wounded spirit. He wanted that, he felt deserved of that bride. And let me say something to you. Because he never fixed his wounded spirit about it, the devil got him through another woman. I'm telling you, a wounded spirit will get you. Oh, Joseph, down in chapter 40 and verse number 7 of Genesis, he's in prison. He's innocent. Pharaoh's officer. He walks in there one day and all these guys are sitting there all glum. Oh, Joseph walks in there whistling, singing Amazing Grace. I know he may not have, but I'm just trying to paint you a picture. He comes in there with a good spirit. He's in jail and was innocent, falsely accused, and he's got a good spirit. You know what they did? Made him ruler over the jail. Guy's going to have a good attitude, going to have a good spirit in a bad situation. Joseph walks in one day and says, what you guys looking so sad about today? Ain't you got any sense? We're in prison, you idiot. Can you imagine the conversation? One of them looks up at Joseph and said, what are you laughing about? What are you whistling Dixie about? Weren't you the one that got falsely accused? Aren't you in here for, you claim you're here for, you didn't do what you were accused of and you're in prison over it. Why aren't you bitter like the rest of us? By the way, Joseph, where are you from? How'd you get down in this country? You know, Joseph pops up and says, well, let me tell you the story. Y'all think you got it rough? I got 11 brothers. I'm the firstborn out of the wife my daddy really wanted to marry. I was born late after a lot of them. He said, my daddy made me a coat of many colors. He said, my brothers got jealous over it. And they hated my guts. And they hated me so bad that one day they took me and put me in a pit. It was going to kill me, but I had one brother stop them from doing it. They finally pulled me out of the pit and sold me as a slave to Midianites. That's how I wound up in Egypt. Wounded in the house of your friends. Got down here and bought by a guy, a slave in a house over here at Pharaoh's, Potiphar's house. Said his wife, she tried to seduce me. I fled away trying to get away from her. She falsely accused me of trying to rape her and said, and that's how I wound up in jail. But boys, I'm going to tell you something. It's a beautiful day in the Ozarks. It's all how you handle it. I have not let my spirit get destroyed like you boys have. See, Joseph, how you do that? Well, he said, I know something about God. That God works all things together for good. My God's not one of your little stone boys over here. He's a living God in heaven. He's in control of everything. I trust Him. And not only that, but my living God tells me to forgive my enemies and to love them that despitefully use me. And He tells me to forgive others and to forgive myself. And not only that, but said, I ain't going to blame God for it. Because you know something? God's got something good in mind working out for my life. I can't see it right now, but I believe Him. You know, years later, old Joseph looked at his brothers and said, hey, you guys, you all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Kept a good spirit. You see how a man can't get whipped if he's got a good spirit? Paul and Silas, they're in the Acts chapter 16. And I know you're all smelling biscuits and chicken, but we're going to finish this message, all right? Paul and Silas is in Acts chapter 16, and they got arrested for preaching the gospel, and they whipped their backs, and they laid stripes on them, and then they put them in stocks. And it's midnight. Paul looks over at Silas and said, it was your idea to come down to Philippi. Silas says, it wasn't either, Paul. You're the one who went out preaching everything. Wouldn't have been you. We wouldn't be here tonight. I'd be home with my family and kids. You've read Acts 16, haven't you? Yeah, different one. That's that new version they got out. That'd be the next thing. No, at midnight, the Bible said they sang and praised God. And the Bible said the jail busted open. And Paul didn't even run off. Woo! Jailer comes running in and says, why ain't you left out like everybody else would? He said, men and sirs, how can I be saved? What must I do to be saved? I want what you have. Your spirit was sustaining you with stripes on your back and your hands and legs and bonds. I want that same spirit in me that sustains you. Oh, I think about the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 when he's coming to the end of his life. And oh, Paul was having a battle right then. He said, all men forsook me. His spirit was having a battle sustaining his spirit. But then he said, I pray God it not be laid to their charge. See that battle going on? He said, I have finished my course. He said, I fought a good fight and finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Paul's spirit was sustaining him. And he said, you know what? He's in the jail and ain't nobody come to see him. He'd been ministering all those years all over Asia and nobody. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present, where only Luke was with me. But his spirit was sustaining them. Your spirit's the most important part of who you are. I want this church to know that. I want to know that. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man?" The spirit of man will sustain him. Your spirit is like a built-in doctor. Are you listening to me right now? I'm going to give you something we're going to go and finish tonight. You can have all manner of sorrow and trouble and disappointment and grief and pain. But if your spirit is healthy, you're going to live in victory. You can be, I'm going to tell you something right now. I've watched in this church. Now you listen to me right good. Dale Gariff is sitting back here. And I ain't never heard a man complain and whine and moan so much in my life about being sick. That's not true, is it, folks? No. Sister Carol, does he whine and complain and moan? If he does, it's fine. Just a little bit. Dale, I want to tell you something. I appreciate you. Your spirit has sustained your infirmity. Old Dean over here got a report nobody wants to hear about. Got a little of that cancer. They're working on it. I talked to Dean about, you know, for 2 or 3 days, Dean, I didn't want to talk to you because I didn't know what to say. Sometimes you think your preacher don't care. He don't know what to say to you. That's the truth. Finally, I talked to Dean. Dean says, "Hey, Reggie, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm good with it. If God takes me out, I'm okay. If God leaves me, I'm okay. It's going to be all right." Dean, you don't know what that, you don't know how that ministered to me and helped me. God, if he can say that, help me to quit grappling about the calf dying or the cat got run over. The pickup. You know what I had last week? Would you all like to listen for about 30 minutes about what all happened to me last week? No. Well, I'll tell you, my truck tore up. The rear end went out of one truck. The rear end went out of another truck. My trailer axle busted up. I don't know how that happened. The front seal went out of the other truck. And all I seen was about $10,000 worth of repair. I'll tell you what, I've had it. There ain't no use trying to work. The harder you pedal, the further behind you get. And you give all your money to people like Danny Friend and the other mechanics. Those guys get rich off of you. Say amen back here, Danny. He's just nodding his head and grinning. No, listen, it's part of life, ain't it, Tim? It's part of life. But now here, let me tell you this. Your spirit is to your whole being what your white corpuscles are to your blood. And if your white corpuscles are not in good health, your body cannot heal itself. You need a healthy spirit. Whew, mercy sakes alive. Give you about 3 things and we're gone. Saul got a jealous spirit in him. And it ruined him. He got jealous over singing praises to David. He got a jealous spirit, not a good spirit. Absalom had a rebellious spirit, and it got him killed. Ahithophel had an unforgiving spirit, and he hung himself. Achan had a covetous spirit. He lost everything he had. Moses had a good spirit until he got aggravated by everybody murmuring. And they kept murmuring, and they kept murmuring, and they kept murmuring. And finally one day, when God told him to speak to the rock, and there was a murmuring, he grabbed up the rod and said, "You rebels! Must us!" And he hit that rock. And you know what? Because he didn't sustain his spirit, he kept him out of the promised land. Oh, God. Tonight, we're going to give you things how to heal a wounded spirit. Okay? There's so many things I'd like to preach. So many things. But I'd like for us to bow our heads right now. If the pianist would come or the organist come, I would appreciate it. Folks, I don't try to be God in your lives. And I have no desire to be. But I can tell you one thing. This old preacher has struggled with his spirit. I want you just to, this morning you say, "Dear God in heaven, I'd like for you to fix my spirit. I'd like for you to, Lord, I need some help. Would you slip out of your seat right now and come? I love you. I care about your life. But let me tell you something. The only place you're ever going to get help is from the Lord. Would you come right now? Just slip out of your seat. I've had some tough things happen, Reggie. It's been kind of rough. God bless you. God bless you. My spirit's been wounded. It's been hurt. Been hurt in the house of my friends even. Would you come? would you come? You will get help from no place else but your Heavenly Father. He wants to put you on the road to healing. Healing takes time oftentimes. It really does. But God wants to get you started this morning, healing your spirit. Oh, it's not that you're mad at the whole world, but you've just kind of been blown apart. You're like Tippy. You don't know what's happened. You've been blown apart, poured water over, and burned up. And I'm telling you what, you've had circumstance and you just don't know what to do. I'm not condemning you. I have been, oh, Lord knows how much I've been fighting and have fought a wounded spirit. But I'm not going to give up. My Heavenly Father is bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than all my challenges and disappointments. And your Heavenly Father loves you and cares about you, and He doesn't want you going through life with a wounded spirit. He wants to heal it today. Would you come? Let's stand together. As we're being dismissed today, you want to come, you come and pray. Seek the Lord. Spend some time with God. I'm telling you, God will help you this morning. Would you come? Anywhere across this building. I just want God to do what He wants done in your life today. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. You've never been born again of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. You've got to have your spirit reborn. You've got to, God deals with your spirit. Would you let us know, or you just call on the Lord where you're at. But God will save you today. He'll help you. Now listen, I had to cut this message in two pieces because tonight will be the finish of it. And I promise you I'm going to preach about, I'll stretch it out to 20 minutes tonight. And I want you to come because it's very important. It'll show you how to handle a wounded spirit, how to respond to getting wounded. And you can get wounded, not ever intend to. You say, man, I won't ever get wounded. I'll tell you something. I've been hurt and didn't know it was coming.